Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Wood, and with me today is none other than Landry Locker of Sports Radio 610. Landry, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Got a victory, got a W. Some stuff to get into, but it's always good. Victory Monday is always good.
Absolutely, and that's the thing, isn't it? It was a win, but I know for me and for a lot of other people, it didn't necessarily, we didn't come away with that feeling of a win. I mean, did you get that at all as well because of everything that went on yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, just everything that went on, you had JJ get hurt, and, you know, just the overall feel of it. You know, normally, you know, games like that, you just get a feel and you get a sense and you anticipate the worst. It felt a little bit almost like the Carolina game earlier this year where, you know, you're just kind of dragging it out. You think you have hope, and then they're just going back and forth. But, you know, when Deshaun's doing what Deshaun's doing, you always have a chance. But, you know, it just seemed like another slow, sluggish start for the offense. And fortunately, Deshaun Watson was able to bail you out with that touchdown defense a little over 6 minutes left. But yeah, it wasn't pretty to say the very least.
No, and obviously you mentioned Deshaun Watson sort of saving us at the end there. And I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? It's like John Gruden said after the game. He said what Dabo Swinney said before. It's like playing against Michael Jordan. I mean, you're never out until you're out. So it was an unbelievable performance from his point of view right at the end there. But what do you think is to blame for this sort of inconsistency in form of late?
I think Bill O'Brien has a tendency to overdo the week-to-week game planning. And I know he always talks about it at his press conferences. He always talks about how it's a week-to-week league, and he talks about this week-to-week game planning. And sometimes you see stuff 1 week, and then the next week you don't see it. And you find yourself wondering, okay, last year against Jacksonville, week 17, you saw a lot of zone reads with Deshaun Watson, and it worked out pretty well, but you didn't see it the next week against the Colts. Or this week, I guess we saw a little bit of it yesterday, but you saw more of it against Kansas City, the rollout RPO that they had with Fells, which they actually ran a couple times yesterday. It just seems like there's no real consistency with this offense, and I think that sometimes this offense, despite the fact that I think this offense has the personnel to be a top-five offense, I feel like sometimes this offense adjusts too much to the defense that they're facing, and I just don't feel like they make the defense adjust to them. I just think I think it's going to have to – Bill O'Brien always says he's going to have to get better. I think it's got to get – you got to get better with just how your offense done. Does that mean you run more up-tempo? Does that mean you – maybe put some of this zone read or more of these RPOs in. I'm not sure, but I just think, you know, relying on Deshaun Watson to, and you mentioned Gruden, to do unscripted magical things that only he can do is just not a recipe for success. And I think with the talent you have on this offense, it's just no excuse for it to always come to that, especially when you're playing a team like the Raiders that you're just better than. I mean, you should beat the Raiders without having to struggle like that. At least I think so. Maybe I just think too high of the offense, but I just think it's overdoing the week to week game planning and not just going in there with the same mindset every week.
Do you think perhaps it would be different, or at least we'd have a chance at it being different for this offense in terms of being able to sort of consistently keep that swagger from week to week, if say Tim Kelly was given bigger role on that offense? Because yes, he's offensive coordinator, but it still looks like O'Brien has most of the control there.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know about Kelly, man. Like, the thing about it is, I don't know what exactly it looks like if Kelly does call it. So maybe it could be someone else, but I mean, he's a guy who's been with O'Brien for a long time. So maybe he's, you know, a little bit just like Bill O'Brien. So I don't know. I don't know. I know there are some offensive guys that, you know, could call that have offenses that execute at a high level, but I don't know enough about Tim Kelly and, you know, how good he is at doing it to know that, you know, Bill O'Brien just saying, hey, you take over would have it look much different, or if it would just look the exact same.
That's absolutely true. I mean, he has been with him since, what, Penn State. It's been a long time they've been together, so, I mean, maybe it wouldn't be too different, but one of the sort of changes that they made in the offseason, obviously bringing in Carl Smith from Seattle, I thought that was going to have a real impact on this offense, but as far as I can tell so far, it hasn't really raised Deshaun's game in terms of consistently. We've seen plenty of highlight reel sort of throws. Don't get me wrong, we've seen plenty of highlight reel moments. But do you think he needs to sort of work on his consistency just a little bit more if we're going to really consider him one of the sort of top three, top four QBs in the league?
Yeah, and I mean, ever since he stayed after that game, you know, he stayed after the Carolina game, he's been looking good, man. It just doesn't seem like, for whatever reason, that he's in position to where it's just that they've had the complete offensive game. I mean, I guess you could say the Atlanta game was fine in Kansas City, although you got off to that slow start. It just seems like something's missing. And it looks like Deshaun's elevated his game, but the stuff that he doesn't necessarily control, whether it's just the overall game plan, the play design and stuff, looks way too similar to me. And then we see these situations where he has to do what he did. So I don't know, man. I mean, part of me wants to say, you know, Deshaun's progressing, but I just don't. It just seems like there's some meat on the bone for this offense. And although, you know, Deshaun's been good, it just seems like there could just be so much more there.
Absolutely. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there are plenty of positives in this offense. It may not have been consistent. We may not have had too many highlight moments from Hopkins so far this year, for example. But someone like Darren Fells, for example, I mean, he's had an excellent few weeks. I mean, do you think, for me at least, he's one of the free agency signings of the season so far? I mean, would you agree, or how do you feel he's performed this year?
Yeah, I mean, the tight end production has been through the roof this year. I know last year you only had four touchdowns total from the tight end position, and they were all by Jordan Thomas. Akins has also made some big plays, especially, you know, against the Chargers. You had another Deshaun Watson Houdini moment where Akins took it to the house. I think the tight end production, you know, as a whole has been positive. I think that's the one thing that you can kind of hang your hat on. And I think you can also, I mean, I think Bill O'Brien, for, if I'm going to talk about, you know, what, you know, the offense looking, you know, week to week, the over micromanaged, I think the moves that he's made on offense, the trades, I mean, eventually, you know, it might suck not to have, you know, first round pick, second round pick, and then the third with Duke. But I think the trades that he's made offensively have actually been pretty good. And those guys, it just adds to why it's kind of frustrating for, you know, this offense to get off to the slow starts they have and have stuff like that happen, because you're absolutely right. You've added some pieces, and it just seems like this offense should be, you know, clicking on all cylinders at all times.
But, I mean, and I mentioned Hopkins, obviously. Credit where it's due, though. These last couple of games, particularly yesterday, I mean, he became, the third fastest player to reach 8,000 yards receiving. I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, he was reliable as ever yesterday, and he looked, for me, that was his most impressive performance of the season. Do you think perhaps we're just, this is him sort of warming up almost? Do you think it's just going to get better from hearing him for Hopkins?
For sure. I'm not worried about Hopkins. You know, I think there's some other weapons too. You know, they've been maybe trying to spread it out a little bit for Nuke, but I think Hopkins is going to be 100% fine. And, you know, when they need someone to make a play, I think DeAndre is going to be fine. The thing with me yesterday that I didn't quite get was, so is DeAndre Carter all of a sudden better than Kiki QT? Like, is that a new thing? I don't think Bill O'Brien has to, like, tell the truth when he talks to the media. Like, if there is an injury, I can understand, like, not saying that there's an injury. But, I mean, you saw Kiki QT last year when he was on the field. I mean, seven games. I think he had two 11-catch games. We've seen him kind of trying to find his form this year after the early season injury. He's made some plays. I mean, I know Carter had a 40-yard reception yesterday, but is it all of a sudden to the point where Kiki QT, when he's sitting on the sidelines in a uniform, isn't even going to be able to get in the game? Like, I don't know what was going on there, but I'm not worried about Nuke. But I think this is something to keep an eye on, in that is Kiki QT all of a sudden, like, on the sidelines while DeAndre Carter's out there? That was interesting. Maybe we'll hear about an injury or something like that, but that was striking to me as I'm watching that out there at NRG yesterday.
But, I mean, let's say it isn't an injury. Is it possible that we've seen in the past certain players, if they get on the wrong side of O'Brien, that seems to be it. There's no really coming back from there. Do you think, is that something we may need to look out for, the relationship between QT and O'Brien in that case?
I mean, I think if he's not hurt, then yeah. I think that could, that definitely is something. I mean, if maybe he's another Deontay Foreman, or, you know, I mean, I don't know, but it's just, you know, you've seen what he adds and the element he adds in that slot. And for that to all of a sudden be gone, I mean, it's crazy. But if he's truly not hurt and all of a sudden DeAndre Carter is better than Kiki QT, then, I mean, you might as well just, like, trade him before the deadline or something like that and just move on, because we see how that happens. You eventually get in the doghouse and can't get out. I haven't heard anything about, you know, Kiki's work ethic or anything like that, but I mean, it seems like a lot of times whenever guys get hurt young, and it was the same thing with Foreman, but these guys, they get hurt young, and then all of a sudden maybe they just end up in the doghouse. But there is some similarities there in that, you know, Kiki's in and out of the lineup, although he shows some flashes his rookie year. And then maybe he is in the doghouse. I'm hoping that that's not the case, because I think he can bring some good stuff to this team. But it was just crazy to see him sitting there on the sidelines with DeAndre Carter out there. I don't know why. I don't know what was going on.
No, especially after the few weeks DeAndre Carter's had in terms of punt return, he's not exactly been consistent. So that was a real surprise, and it was a bit disappointing, I must admit. We haven't really seen a lot of QT, because, I mean, like you mentioned, we've seen plenty of flashes in the past. Look at what he did against the Colts both games last year. I mean, there's plenty of talent there. O'Brien just doesn't seem to be using him as much as perhaps they should.
Yeah, and I mean, if Kiki's not an element here with Fuller out, then, I mean, I guess you got Stills and Nuke, and then you got DeAndre Carter. So, you know, I had big expectations for Kiki this year. Of course, that was before Stills. So I'm with you. I think it's definitely something to keep an eye on, because, I mean, it just seems like he gives you something that you don't really have. I mean, maybe he likes, maybe the tight ends, maybe it's connected to the tight ends too. Maybe he just likes what he's getting from his tight ends, to where he doesn't feel like a guy in the slot there. But when they are bringing out three wideouts, I'm seeing number 14 instead of number 16. It's just, okay. It could be a here we go again, or it could be a he got hurt in warm-ups and they just don't want to tell us.
Yeah, that's going to be something to look out for next weekend in London, certainly. And speaking of players who, I guess, slightly disappointed yesterday, you mentioned the production we've gotten from the tight ends this year. Jordan Akins did not exactly have a career game yesterday. What do you think was going on there? What do you think is to blame, or was it just quite simply an off day?
I think it was just an off day. He had the one drop on the rollout. I think Akins will be fine. I think you can just chalk that down to an off day. But I think he's going to be all right. I don't think there's anything to worry about with Akins. I think, you know, he's, unless you know, he always likes to throw out versatile. I think he's probably the most versatile tight end that you can line him up in different spots. But I wouldn't be worried about Akins just yet.
Certainly. And then obviously, moving on to players that perhaps we should be a little bit more worried about. There were quite a few injuries yesterday. Obviously, we saw what happened to JJ Watt. Laremy Tunsil went off as well. And then obviously Lonnie Johnson as well, another player that's gone out. How concerned are you about the Texans in terms of depth at this point in time with all these injuries that are piling up?
I mean, I think it's to the point where your offense is just going to have to take you home at this point when it comes to defense. I think your offense is just going to have to carry you. But, you know, it's obviously you're not going to be able to replace J.J. Watt on the defensive line. That's just not really going to happen. So you're going to see other guys like Aminihu and all the other guys try to be put in positions. Could also see Bernardrick McKinney moving around. I know he's not going to be on the D-line, but maybe they rush him a little bit more. That's really how you're going to replace those guys. But as far as Tunsil goes, I think his shoulder is going to be fine. I don't like seeing the backup left and right tackles. That's never a recipe for success, but they say that he's going to be fine. So I don't think there's really too much concern offensively on injuries outside of Will Fuller, and I still think the offense is good enough. But defensively, you know, replacing J.J. Watt, this is where the Clowney trade, and I know people are just trying to kind of move on from that, but this is where, you know, the Clowney trade kind of comes back and bites you, because, you know, we've seen Clowney succeed. We've seen this defense succeed without J.J., but that was when you still had Clowney. But now you just have a bunch of other guys that aren't, you know, in the same level as Clowney. They're going to have to step it up now, and I don't know if Whitney Merciless gets more attention or what, but as far as the concern – you got to be concerned there. And then in the secondary, I mean, those guys are just dropping like flies too. So, you know, you hope Roby comes back eventually, and then you have that. Lonnie was playing okay. It was kind of hit or miss. I know he got burned by Renfro yesterday, but I mean, I don't know what you're really missing in the secondary. You know what I mean? So when I say that, I don't mean that like disrespectfully, but like, you know how last year when Shontrell Henderson got hurt week one and you heard them talk about, like, Shontrell Henderson got hurt, you couldn't replace him? Well, he can't really play. Like, we found out Shontrell Henderson's just not very good.
Yeah.
So I think that's the case with a lot of these guys getting hurt in the secondary, in that I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt, but I'm not sure how good those guys were to begin with. So I don't think, you know, when you lose a J.J. Watt, you know he can play. And I know guys are dropping in the secondary and you're having to replace them with guys off the street, but I don't know how much better they were than the guys on the street to begin with.
No, absolutely. I mean, like you mentioned, you lose a Bradley Roby. We've seen some good things out of him, but we've only seen so much. Phillip Gaines, another guy we hardly saw before he got injured. So, again, it's the same as last year. Look at Kayvon Webster, Sharice Wright. I mean, we can go down the list again. This has been a problem for a long time now for the Texans, but that obviously is going to be a concern.
You always got to look at that program on game day, man. You always got to look at that program now with these secondary guys. Who the hell is that? Oh, okay. That's so
Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
It's kind of exhausting.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? I mean, who are they going to bring in next? I know last week they worked out EJ Gaines. They worked out Trevor Williams as well. I mean, do you see either of them coming in? Do you think maybe they bring back Xavier Crawford? They cut the rookie they cut earlier this week. Do they look to practice squads elsewhere? I mean, I assume the Patriots, that's where obviously Bill O'Brien likes to go. So what do you think they're going to do at this point in time to fill those holes?
I mean, I think that's you just mentioned. It's going to be guys coming in and out. It's going to be guys from practice squads. I know they're not going to make... Now, I don't see them making any more trades because they've made so many. And then you got your Conley guy that you brought in here. And then I think it's just going to be shuffling in and out guys and hoping Roby comes back, hoping JoJo can hold up. But I don't see them just, you know, there's not going to be any blockbuster or anything. It's just going to be guys where you'll probably have to, you know, look up their bio and see what this guy's done when they bring him in. It just seems like it's just kind of the way the cornerback position's been.
I mean, we saw Antonio Smith, he went to the game yesterday. Maybe they can pull him out of retirement for a few games like they did last time Watt got injured.
Maybe.
But, I mean, that's another thing, isn't it? Defensive end, we don't really know. I'm hoping, like you mentioned, that they'll get more out of Charles Omenihu. I've really liked what I've seen from him this year. I think he's really promising. Brandon Scarlett's had a good year so far as well. Is he an out-and-out defensive end? No, but I still think we can get something out of him. Do they maybe look to trade a late pick for someone like Vic Beasley? I mean, the Falcons are desperately trying to get rid of him.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. DOB said they're not, but I don't know if they – I think they might just use the Scarlets and the they already have and just try to make something happen. I don't know. I think DOB might be done trading, and they're just going to try to figure something out. I mean, if you could at least call on Beasley, but I don't know how late of a pick you're going to be able to give up. You're seeing a lot of guys start to get traded, but I don't know. I think defensively, you're just not going to have that great of a defense, and you're just going to need the offense to carry you. That's just how it feels right now.
Yeah, I remember this morning John McClain wrote on Twitter that he's decided to nickname Bill O'Brien Trader Bill, I think is perfect. We need to stick with that moving forward. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do moving on. In terms of who they're going to replace these guys with. So let's try and remain, I guess, a little bit optimistic. I mean, how are you feeling about the London trip itself? Will you be going over there? I mean, I haven't even asked you that.
I am not going over there. I think we're sending somebody, but I am not. But I'm excited about it. It seems like, you know, normally when teams go to London, it's kind of a wash in that it's a relatively new experience for both teams. But Jacksonville, this is like, almost their second home, so they're pretty used to it. So as far as the trip itself, it's unique because you have the 8:30, you know, you're going to have the 8:30 kick time, you're going to have to adjust to the clock. But I don't know how much it takes out of you physically, but I think the bye week is coming at an extremely perfect time. And it's pretty much a road game when you're facing the Jags there because they're so familiar. I think they have a pretty decent backing there. Yeah, you might be able to speak better on that to me, but I thought they had like a decent backing there, and there's even been talks about them playing more games there. But as far as the trip itself, I'm imagining that it's a little bit uncomfortable, but the bye week will come at a right time, and they're facing a team. But they are facing a team that I guess they're a little more familiar with it than they are.
Certainly, and I mean, like you mentioned, the Jags do have quite a big backing in the UK. Obviously, I mean, what else would you expect, I suppose, after so many years of playing there? But the Texans themselves, actually, the fan base for the Texans in the UK is surprisingly large. So I'm looking forward to seeing all of them coming out because I know they're all excited to see their Texans finally go over to the UK. And the one thing that I will admit does worry me, and you alluded to it there, is the trip itself. Jags will be more used to it. I mean, you're looking at an 8 to 10 hour flight. It's going to be a long trip, and they've got a lot of time difference as well. I don't know when the Texans are flying over, if they're going to leave it till the last minute like the Raiders did.
Thursday. They said Thursday. VOB said today that they're going to leave on Thursday.
Okay, so they're leaving it relatively late. But so, I mean, from the teams, I've been to various training sessions in London when teams have come over. Usually it's no pads. They're just out there for sort of an hour or so warming up, if anything else. I can't imagine them doing a great deal because they're all going to be exhausted. But let's hope it goes well for them. I mean, they've got some experience of going abroad. Obviously, they went to Mexico City during the Brock Osweiler era, so supposedly they've got some experience in that department, so let's see if it pays off for them. But
the laser pointer game, I remember it very well, the laser pointer game.
Absolutely. But I mean, one element of this game that I'm looking forward to is obviously now without Jalen Ramsey, I mean, is it going to be a difficult task for the Jags' point of view to maintain DeAndre Hopkins moving into this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the battle. Got the best of Nuke when they played this year, so you got to think that, you know, it's going to be nice for DeAndre to be able to go out there and not have to face Jalen, because it was a given that those two were going to be going toe to toe now. So it's going to be a little bit easier for him. I know they've been sacking the quarterback. I think they had an 8-sack game on Sunday. I think they've had 3 of those since 2016 when Marone got there. So they are still getting after the quarterback, but it is a welcome sight that Jalen's not there. And then on the other side, you got Gardner Minshew, who gave the Texans a little bit of trouble early on. It was his first career start, but he's gotten a little bit more comfortable. 3 touchdown passes yesterday, and you know he could pose some problems for them as well. And Leonard Fournette, I mean, he's basically revived his career right now. I think he's second in the league in rushing. So, you know, Jacksonville's a threat. And the crazy thing is they're one game behind the Texans in the standings, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But just on the field, they pose a significant threat for the Texans on Sunday in London, like significant.
Definitely. I guess on the plus side, from Houston's point of view, obviously Minshew won't have made this trip before, so this will be new to him, and a couple of the other Jags as well won't have made this trip. So I guess it won't necessarily be an experience that all of them are used to. I guess that's a plus side they could look into this. But yeah, it's going to be a tough game. I mean, for fans listening on the other side of the pond, which matchups are you particularly looking forward to this Sunday, and should they look out for this Sunday?
I mean, I would be looking out for the Minshew versus the Texans defense, just how he handles it, because this is the first time in his career that, you know, he can actually put in some tape of himself and watch him against a specific team. Now, JJ's not there or anything, and, you know, obviously they have some guys out there, but, you know, for a guy who's been a pleasant surprise getting to face a defense for the second time, you know, for the first time, I think that's something to really keep an eye on. How does Minshew light that up? And then you're going to have to look at how J.J. Watt is replaced. What is the Texans defense looking like, you know, replacing J.J. Watt? That's the other thing to look at, as well as Leonard Fournette, because we know the Texans they like to stop the run, and it's one thing to commit to stopping the run when you have a healthy secondary like they did in, you know, the first time these two teams played, but how much can you commit to the run? Is it just about man-to-man battles, or is there going to be something schematically to where you can commit to stopping the run when your secondary is so thin? So there's a few things to look at, but I think it's all about the quarterback. I want to see Minshew and how he handles getting to face that defense, you know, for the second time, for the first time in his career.
Certainly, and I have to admit, I'm going to be extremely disappointed if I don't see half those fans at Wembley with the Minshew Mania moustaches on. I have to admit, that's going to be a big disappointment if they don't. I expect that everywhere, all over the ground, because let's be honest, who doesn't love it a little bit?
All over. It's going to be there. I can promise you that. They'll be selling those like hotcakes. So whatever sells hot out there. I don't know what the equivalent of hotcakes is out there.
Well, I mean, on the plus side, I've just double checked this. Charles Menehue, he recorded his first sack and forced fumble in the NFL against the Jags. So maybe this is one of his better teams to go up against. Who knows? I guess we can only hope at this point in time.
Yeah, especially with JJ coming out. And I mean, Charles has been a pleasant surprise, and he's got a chip on his shoulder because, you know, he didn't like going in the fifth round like he did. I followed him when he was at Texas. A lot of potential there, and I think he's surpassed most people's expectations. But now the expectations are going to go, you know, up even further with JJ out. So yeah, maybe Charles can go out there and make some plays off of Minshew too. It's interesting because Bill O'Brien versus Marone in their career, Bill O'Brien's 3-2 against him. So I know Marone's his buddy. This could quite possibly be the last time they face each other. I don't know if Marone's, you know, his days could be numbered in Jacksonville. I don't know how, you know, secure his job is. So this could be their final matchup. And, you know, this would be Bill O'Brien, you know, solidifying a winning record against another coach in the division.
Absolutely. And then finally, just to begin to close out here, is there any chance you could give us a slightly too early prediction, I guess, without the injury report, but an early prediction for this weekend's game?
All right, I think it's going to be a little bit of a back and forth game. I think there's going to be a little more scoring than we anticipate, but I'll go ahead and say that the Texans win 27-24. Just right now, with how we look, I think Fairbairn kicks the game winning field goal. He seems to find his groove again, but I think the Texans win 27-24 and they hold off the Jags slightly for the second time this season.
I certainly hope you're right. And then finally, as you know, I like to throw off my guests just a little bit with the final question. So you mentioned it before. You said that Deshaun Watson, can be magic at times. Here's the question. Is he, as social media keeps putting it, is he a magician in your opinion?
Yeah, he absolutely is. I mean, he pulls a rabbit out of a hat like no one that we've seen in a long time. I mean, I think he's the only guy to get kicked in the face and then throw a touchdown based on my experience watching football. So I absolutely think he's a magician. Deshaun Watson, at this point, he's anything that he wants to be in this town. So I will say Deshaun is a magician.
Absolutely. Landry, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
At Landry Locker on Twitter, at Landry Locker on Instagram, and then 10-2 Monday through Friday on the radio.com app, In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. And also, for any fans traveling over to London, keep in mind, it is going to be cold. You're looking at 50, perhaps, and very wet in London this weekend. So make sure you wrap up warning cheer on those Texans. Thanks very much for listening.